Yesterday I was involved in a very unique event. There was a mass in Leonville and with overflowing crowd, and it was celebrating the 250th anniversary of the arrival of our faith here to Acadiana. And there was a beautiful mass and then a procession to boats on the Bayou Teche, about 40 boats, one of them carrying the Blessed Sacrament in a beautiful monstrance. So our Lord Jesus bodily present in that monstrance and processed all the way down Bayou Teche with a stop in Arnoville to Father Brown's church. Do y'all know Father Keenan Brown, African-American priest? He was my associate in Eunice for his first 3 years of priesthood. And then they went on to Brobridge and Parks and Cecilia, not in that order, I forget the exact order, and ended up in St. Martinville with a procession down the streets there to St. Martin de Tours Church and then to the Community of Jesus Christ Crucified. Father Mike Shumpine was the orchestrator of this big event, and only he, I think, could pull it together, and he certainly did. It was a great, great crowd. But it was on the Feast of the Assumption, dedicated to Our Lady, as we are all Creoles and Cajuns so devoted to our Blessed Mother, right? On the day that she was assumed body and soul into heaven. And certainly one thing that we like to do as Creoles and Cajuns is to eat, right? And to drink. And so today our readings are all about this eating and drinking. But realize what St. Paul says. He says, don't get drunk on wine, right? Get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Right? Because when the apostles were speaking in tongues and doing all that, they said, these men sound like they're drunk, and it's only 9 a.m. in the morning. All right? But they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And not with the earthly spirits. In moderation, of course, all things, but we don't want to get drunk where we lose our senses and our reasoning power, because it always leads to worse things, right? But we heard from the first reading today in the Old Testament Proverbs, how wisdom, that Lady Wisdom, has prepared her table. She has put her meat on the table and the wine there for this sumptuous feast, right? And the psalm today, taste and see the goodness of the Lord, right? Because that's what we do when we worship the Lord. We're tasting Him. We're in communion with Him. It's like we're having this meal with Him. And then when Jesus gives to us His body, blood, soul, and divinity, it really is a meal, right? And that's what was a little bit difficult for the Jews of his day, which it would have been for all of us too, right? When somebody tells you to eat their body and drink their blood, well, what, are we talking about cannibalism here or what? So it was difficult for them to understand. But Jesus does not back down at all. Jesus doesn't say, hey, I was only talking symbolically. He doesn't say that. He actually starts to drive the point harder. Harder. Because what does he say? He says, after he says, you have to eat my body and drink my blood, and say, this is hard to believe. And Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you. Now, whenever you see in the Bible, amen, amen, two times in a row, it's like swearing an oath. It's like putting your hand on the Bible and saying, I swear to God Almighty, this is true. So Jesus is driving the point harder. He's not backing down at all. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. And in the next verse, he goes even one step further when he says, this, my body, is true food for you to eat. And this, my blood, is true drink for you to drink. All right? It's true. That's one step further, right? And then in the next verse, Jesus changes his word for eating. Unfortunately, they didn't translate it in the English. You can only hear it in the Greek. The first verses are using the regular normal word for eating. I think it's a phogon or something like that. But then in verse 54, he changes it to trogon, which is a verb that means to munch and to gnaw. So Jesus is getting even more graphic, right? He's not backing down at all. He's pushing the point harder and harder. He says, unless you munch on my flesh, unless you gnaw on it, you're not going to have life within you. And he says that four times with that particular verb in our gospel passage today. And so Jesus truly has come to give us his very life. And that is what we are celebrating at every Mass in every Catholic church throughout the world. We're celebrating our Christian Passover. And it's only in a Catholic church that you can get the body and blood of Jesus our Lord. Because we have the apostolic succession from the apostles who ordained other bishops, all the way down to Bishop Michael Jarrell today, and who all of us priests go back to some bishop who was ordained backwards all the way to one of the apostles. And so we were given the ability, the responsibility, to actually perform a miracle at every Mass. Because back there, it's just bread and wine, right? Just normal bread and wine. But placed on this altar, and the ordained priest says the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood," a miracle is taking place. And so today, only here at St. Joseph Church, only at Queen of All Saints Church, only at Sacred Heart Church in Ville Platte, can you get the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus our Lord. Nobody else can boast of that. Now, other churches might have communion services, but it's not the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Number one, they don't believe it is. And number two, they wouldn't even have the power to do it. All right? You have to be ordained and going back to the apostles to be able to change bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. So at every Mass, we are witnessing a miracle. A miracle is taking place. Now, you have to make an act of faith that this is happening. Of course, whether we believe it or not, it really does happen as long as the priest does what he's supposed to do, right? Say the correct words. All right, that's why we're always very careful to make sure we're saying the right words, right? So the miracle takes place. But it's only in that way. But you have to make that act of faith too in it, all right, to receive the grace that comes from this beautiful gift of Jesus our Lord. So the miracle that takes place is called transubstantiation. And what happens here is the reality of the bread and the wine is changed into the reality of the resurrected Jesus in heaven. So Jesus, who is right there in that tabernacle, and in a few moments will be on this altar, will make an apparition, we can say, an appearance, but in reality, right? But transubstantiation says the reality changes, but not the effects, all right? So it still looks, after the consecration, it still looks like bread, still looks like wine, still tastes like bread, still tastes like wine. But it's not, in reality, those simple things. It is now the resurrected body of Jesus, our Lord, on that altar. And so what we're doing is reenacting, but in a real way, the Last Supper, right, on Holy Thursday night. Jesus did this before he died, the night before he died with the apostles. He wanted to give them this great gift. And then he died on the cross with his body, blood, shedding his blood. And then he rose gloriously on Sunday. That's why we gather together on Sundays to celebrate this beautiful event in our lives. So the reality has taken place. When I was in Delcombe, and I had St. Martin de Porres Church in Delcombe, African-American church there, I always had the kids, the 11th grader confirmation kids, make a holy hour in our adoration chapel. And I had them write down a little journal entry of their experience. And this was one 11th grade girl who wasn't going to church too much before, but after she did, because this is what she said. "The one thing I like about going to the holy hour is that it gives me time to myself. The first day I went to the holy hour was on a weekday. When I got there, they had other people inside the chapel, so I sat down and said my prayers, and then I told my sins to God. After that, I started talking to God about my problems, and I asked God why I feel hurt and sad all the time. And after a period of time, I started to feel something. It was weird. I mean, I felt like something was pulling all my hurt, sadness, and sins all out of me. Somebody put their hand down in my soul and pulled down from my feet and pulled from my feet up over my head all my problems out. After that, I felt good and cheerful about myself and about life. I love to go there now each week and pray and tell my problems to God. And then I feel good the rest of the week, too. Thank you for asking us to do this." And after that, I started to see this girl at Mass on Sundays faithfully, all right? Because she had a powerful experience of the real presence of Jesus, our Lord. And that usually happens when somebody is far away from the Lord. They come into His divine presence and they have a big experience. They feel it, all right? Because you can't help but come into the presence of the Lord and feel His divine rays touching you. It's like divine radiation, all right? Killing all cancer cells that might be within us spiritually, spiritual cancers, all right? And we're getting this divine radiation, okay? We're being transformed in His presence. And we're receiving His grace and His love in our hearts. Now, after you've been doing it for a long time, coming to Sunday Mass, and you're not going to have all these powerful feelings as when you were so far away from the Lord, right? God takes away the baby food. You know, it's like babies, like candies and all that kind of stuff, sweet things. But you have to have eventually some meat and vegetables, right, to sustain you truly, get some protein. So we need our divine protein as well. So God takes away some of that sugary feelings that we would all like to have all the time, but we're not. We're going to have to come to a deeper, mature faith. Still, we're going to have some joyful feelings, of course, but it might not be as powerful as it was when you first came to the Lord in that powerful experience, right? And so what a great and powerful gift that the Lord has given to us. And so in your pews today, we have sign-up slips for making 1 hour of adoration each week. Maybe commit for 1 year to start off with in our hospital. It's a great thing that here we have our hospital involved, Mercy Hospital, in the chapel there. The Blessed Sacrament is exposed. So it's like an even more intimate experience. Here Jesus is protected in the tabernacle, but when you put Him in a monstrance, He's exposed. You can see Him. And when you do that, you have to have somebody there to adore Him. You cannot expose Jesus without somebody there to adore Him. So that's why we have people there 24 hours a day, and I think it's been going on for something like 25 years, they told me, I think. So that's an incredible gift. Our Lord is being worshipped and adored in His bodily presence for 25 years in a row. They have a church in Paris, France, where it's been over 100 years, and 18-something, that they've had 24-hour adoration. We call that perpetual adoration of our Lord. So I would encourage you all to sign up. I'm going to sign up, too, to make a holy hour. And you make the same time every week. So if you sign up for 2 a.m. on Friday morning, then it's 2 a.m. every Friday morning that you're committed to go to that holy hour. And if it's in the dark hours, you have to go through the emergency room in the hospital. So, but it's great. You know, everything's, you got a bathroom there, telephone for any kind of emergencies, anything, and, you know, protection. So it's a great system that they have going here to have that at the Mercy Hospital. So I would really encourage you to sign up. One of the coordinators will give you a call for whatever little hour you sign up for and make sure that you know what you need and so forth. So I highly encourage all of you to make that commitment. Make a holy hour a week in that chapel, and that'll be a great thing. You'll receive so much more grace than you can ever imagine. It transforms your life, all right? But especially, the most important thing of all is to come to Mass every Sunday and to give the Lord worship and praise. So I encourage you all to sing. Join in the singing, even if you have a bad voice. God gave it to you. You give it right back to Him. That's His fault. All right? So even if you couldn't carry a tune if it had a handle on it, go ahead. Sing your heart out to the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord come forth from your heart. And you will feel something, definitely. Because when you sing, your heart is just involved in it. Your body is involved in it. So that's why we sing in Mass and join in the worship and praise that we do. Somebody had put up a sign that said, "You feed your body, why starve your soul?" All right? So we're all, I'm sure, eating and drinking every day so we can survive from one day to the next. But why starve our souls? We need to feed our souls with this spiritual food and this spiritual drink. I saw a picture one day and it had a beautiful laid out table, very sumptuous table, nicely put together. And it's called The Invitation. And it says, "You are invited to come dine with me from now through all eternity. believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and dine with Jesus as your host. To live in heaven eternally, all you must do is RSVP. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. You know what that means? Please respond. Are you coming or not? And the main thing is, we're making our reservation in heaven on Sundays here. So, you know, if we come here on Sundays, then the Lord's going to say, all right, you love me. You have a place at the table. But if we refuse to come too much, the Lord's going to say, hey, you didn't want to be part of my table on earth? You ain't going to be part of my table in heaven. So we need to help our brothers and sisters that are not here today. Come on back. Come worship the Lord. Be a part of the family. That's the only way that you can enter into eternal glory. Because Jesus himself said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. Amen.